Ladies and Stoics, Andy here, author of The Best Tinder Guide on the Internet, and guy who has to talk very quietly on this podcast because his lovely girlfriend is sleeping in the next room. This is the Kill You and Lose podcast. Let's fucking go. I want you guys to stop and think, or have a little guess, what you think I end up coaching most guys on, most guys who come into my coaching program. What do you think that I coach them on? Pause the podcast and have a think. I bet most of you, the answer you'll give is, well, probably getting laid or sex or dating or relationships, right? No, it's what most guys come to me for. But the thing that they make the biggest improvements on, or the thing that I get them to focus so much on, is whether you want to call it mental health or stoicism or inner peace or happiness, something like that. But I always get them to focus on that. I find basically every single guy has massive room for improvements with the way he talks to himself, his mental models and frameworks of the world, how much negative self-talk he has, or how negative he is about external events, and how much of a sort of, you know, victim mindset he has. Not that, you know, my coaching clients come to me as victims, but we all get caught up in that sort of victim mindset of like, man, my boss is a dick to me. And it's like, you're not the victim there. You're allowed to leave. You're allowed to tell your boss to stop being a dick. You're allowed to go somewhere else. You're allowed to do a million other things. You're allowed to even meditate and just be okay with the fact that your boss is a dick sometimes. You're not the victim. And so again, the thing that I work the most on with people is this mental health or this happiness and the way that their brain works. And so one of the things that a lot of people are sort of surprised at when I coach them is a lot of people don't realize, or they don't stop to think that, like, you could be a much more happier person. That's just a skill you can work on. What they think is, when I achieve my goals, so when I get laid a certain amount, or when I have a girlfriend, or when I do X, Y, or Z, that's when I'll be happy. And they neglect happiness in the moment. They don't realize that happiness and stoicism and inner peace and all of that, but happiness is a skill that you can literally practice. It is literally a skill not to be neglected. And so I talk all the time to my coaching clients and I say, yo, dude, you know, they'll give me their goals. They'll say, hey, I want to get laid this many times. Maybe I want to make this much money in my business, or maybe I want to start a business or whatever it is. You know, Andy, can you help me do this in the 12 weeks of coaching? Yep, sure. But where's happiness on there? What are you going to do to practice your, you know, your happiness, to learn a bit of stoicism, or to, you know, read some books on inner peace and navigating the world and all of that? And they go, oh, well, like, do I need to do that? And say, yeah, is that not your most important goal? Is that not why you're doing these other goals? Aren't you doing these other goals because you want to be happy? Wouldn't it make sense to have happiness as a goal on there, something to work on? And most people don't look at happiness as a skill. I think it's because from, you know, the day that we're born, maybe not the day, you know, no, I think it is the day that we're born. We're taught that external events will make you happy. External things will make you happy. Happiness is not something inside of you. It's not a skill. It's not something you can practice. Gratitude is not a skill. We're taught that, like, those things aren't skills. The only way that you'd be happy, or the only way you'll ever be grateful for things, is if you get things. You know, as a baby, you're taught you'll only be happy if mommy and daddy give you attention and affection and love. And if they ever withdraw that, oh, no, you're going to be unhappy. And a baby doesn't know any better, so that's perfect. You know, I'm not blaming the babies for not being stoic enough and understanding not to neglect their own happiness. But from that moment, we're taught that happiness is outside of you, and it's not a skill you can improve. And gratitude, you know, most people don't even have a concept of gratitude, do they? The vast majority of humans don't have a concept of gratitude. They'll be grateful when they get something. They'll be grateful when you give them something, or when you smile at them, or any of that. But no one's sat them down, no one's sat me down and said, hey, gratitude is a skill to work on. Like, gratitude is something to improve every day. Practice it. It's a practice. Stoicism is a practice. You know, like, we're not given a copy of Marcus Aurelius's book, Meditations, or the lectures of Seneca, or any of these old school Stoics. We're not given any of that material and said, like, hey, you know, practice Stoicism every day like these guys did, because it will lead to your own, you know, happiness, mental fortitude, and all of that. We're not taught that stuff. And so we go through this process, you know, of life, and we believe that external things will make us happy. and we don't ever look inwards. And now, to make it clear, yes, external things are fucking fantastic. Something to be grateful for. Sex is amazing. Getting validation feels really nice. Having a woman be nice to you is fucking lovely. Having a great conversation with your friends, that's fucking magical. Eating some food that you've never tried before that just puts a smile on your face and blows your mind, oh my God, that's amazing. But you want to, at the same time, be practicing this happiness and be practicing this gratitude. Because if you're not present and if you're not happy and if you're not practicing those things and practicing your gratitude, you don't really actually appreciate sex. I've seen so many guys come through my forums and other forums who just have this lay count in mind. And they're like, I got to get 20 lays this year. And it's like, fine, if that's something that's meaningful, meaningful for you, great. I'm all for that. But with each woman that they date and sleep with, they're not even in the moment. They're not even enjoying it. I've seen so many guys that do this. They're like, all right, I got laid last night. Okay, on to the next. And you're like, well, like, did you have fun with this woman last night? The fuck did you guys do? Was it just like dick goes in, all right, thanks, miss. It's been really nice meeting you. I'm going to need you to go now because, you know, I've got to get back on that grind. I've got to fuck the next woman now. Bye. And it's like, what is the point of achieving a goal like that if you're not enjoying it along the way? The mission isn't just to look in your little fucking notebook and go, okay, so I fucked 20 girls. Cool. Like, that's not the mission. The mission was to create 20 memories, or the mission was to grow as a human being, to grow as a man who's capable of sleeping with 20 women. It's not just to fuck 20 women. If you want to do that, go and pay an escort. Anyone can do that. Or if you want to do that with non-escort women, go and sleep with 20 relatively plain, you know, no offense to those girls, but relatively plain looking women. You could easily do that. Everyone, every man on the planet can sleep with 20 massively overweight women. That's not difficult. Might take some effort, but it's not difficult. And so the mission was to enjoy it, right? The mission was happiness. So practice that. Practice that gratitude. I see a lot of guys who will achieve a goal and just move the goalposts and just immediately move on to the next goal with no gratitude of the thing they just achieved, no patting themselves on the back, you know, no stopping to look at how far they've come and appreciating the fact that they get to live in a world where they can improve themselves like this. No appreciation for the women that they might sleep with. I mean, show a little gratitude to each of the women. Like, show a little bit of love to these women. They've helped you along your journey. They've made you into a better person, which is obviously what you're doing this for. Stop and take a breath to take a chance to smell the roses. Like, enjoy this process. And so I see so many guys getting caught up in external events and when I do this, I'll be happy. And it's like, no, be happy while you do that. What's more enjoyable? Going to Disneyland with a frown on your face and going, okay, this is just like, I got to get all the theme park, all the rides done. I have to do the roller coaster. I have to do that other roller coaster. And then I have to get this done. And you're just unhappy the whole time. Or going to Disneyland with a smile on your face and being grateful for every single roller coaster and going like, man, this is just fucking fantastic. I love this. Which one is more enjoyable? And yet so many people choose the former, the first option. They have this, they don't have a frown on their face, but they're just suffering because they're in this mission of like, I'm on the grind. I got to put in effort. I got to put in work. I can't enjoy myself. I have to reach that goal. And they forget to stop and actually enjoy the fucking process. And so I want to remind you guys, and I'm going to do this multiple times. Like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life because happiness is the reason that you're doing all of this, right? Happiness and freedom and becoming a better person. These are the reasons that you're working on any of the goals that you're working on. So I am going to constantly remind you, I promise. I won't let you guys forget, but I'm going to constantly remind you to be grateful, to be in the moment, to work on your happiness, to, you know, realize that mental health and stoicism and happiness and all of that are skills that you can improve. Like, they're skills to be constantly developed. They're skills to be nourished, to be looked after. It's like a garden that you water. And so if you would like some book recommendations on stuff that will help with this, probably the first book I would give you is Loving What Is by Byron Katie. I often say that this book is like a book on stoicism written by a woman. It's about loving the way reality is and accepting reality. And from that position of accepting it and saying, okay, it is what it is. You're then in a better position to actually go and make a difference and to make some changes and to improve yourself and to, you know, shape reality. But the first step of shaping reality and changing reality is accepting the way that it is right now And so many people don't get that first crucial step. They will sit there and argue with reality. And they'll say, my boss shouldn't speak to me like that. My boss is a dick. Or, you know, women shouldn't ignore me. Women should give guys a chance. And it's like, well, right now they're not giving you a chance. That's reality. Accept that. Don't argue with it. And then how can we change it? What solution do we want to come up with? But that first step is acceptance. They tell you this in the fucking Alcoholics Anonymous program, right? The first step is accepting that you have an issue, not arguing with reality and going like, no, I don't have a problem. No, I just drink like every day, but that's not a problem. That's you arguing with reality. The first step is saying, hey, I feel like I don't want to drink as much as I drink. I feel like I'm drinking a little bit more than I would like to. That's accepting reality. And then from there, you can go, what do I want to do about it? Let's do the other, you know, 11 steps of this program and let's work on this thing. But you have to accept reality. Otherwise, you'll never improve it. So Loving What Is by Byron Katie, read that book. Second book I will recommend is You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. I've recommended this book to people for like the last 10 years of my life. And everybody who reads it goes, oh my God, this is a life-changing book, a life-changing book. It's about not focusing on the negative, obviously, hence the title, but it's about looking for things to be grateful for. And it's a very action-oriented book. Like, it gives you actionable steps. It's very much like a book that you must do. So don't just read the book. The same thing with Loving What Is, by the way. I usually just give you guys book recommendations that are actionable. And so I don't want you guys to just rush through them. I see some people doing that where they will just read the book, get it done in a week. And they're like, yep, I read the book. And I'm like, what the fuck? You've read the book? What the hell? The book took me 3 months to read because I paused constantly. And every time the author said to do an exercise, I went out and did that exercise for like a week. I made sure I integrated that into part of my life and into part of who I am and what I do. So all the books that I give you, don't just read them. That doesn't do jack shit, right? You guys know that. If you just listen to all my podcasts, does that change your life? No. You have to actually go out and do something. If you want to get laid, you have to talk to some fucking women. If you want to start a business, you have to, you know, start the goddamn business. Listening to motivational shit doesn't do anything. It's not that it doesn't do anything. It does quite a lot. It makes you feel really good. It motivates you, all of that. But you do, after that, have to take some action. So please don't just read these books. Listen to them, integrate them, and do the actionable steps that the authors give you. Take your time with these books. Again, for some of these books, I have taken 3 months to read these books, and then I come back to them and read them again. And then I listen to the audiobook as I'm going about my life. And then I go and listen to lectures that the author has given, and I watch YouTube. Like, the author of Loving What Is, her name is Byron Katie. She has like thousands of counseling videos on YouTube of her like counseling people and helping them with their mental headspace and stuff. I've watched like hundreds of those at this point because they're all fucking life-changing. So I would go through and, you know, do that as well. So Loving What Is by Byron Katie. And I'll leave links in the description to these books, by the way, or in the show notes. And if you use those links, I get a little bit of money. I think I get like 50 cents or something for every book that you buy. So that's appreciated. But, you know, feel free to buy them wherever you would like. So Loving What Is, You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought is the second book. And the third book, and this one's probably actually the most important for the topics that we're talking about today, is I Need Your Love, Is That True? And that one's also by Byron Katie, so by the same woman. And I think this book, more than any other, helps you not put your happiness on external things. And in particular, she uses the example of like love and validation when we say like, you know, I need my partner to love me, or I need girls to give me the respect that I want, or I need girls to give me sex. I need girls to sleep with me. This book basically challenges that and says like, why the fuck do you need that? It's okay to want that. In fact, it's a fucking beautiful thing to want that, because like sex is amazing. Affection is amazing. Love feels fucking beautiful. But why do you need that? Why are you putting your happiness on that? Why are you becoming so unhappy if you don't get it? Why are you throwing a tantrum? I see a lot of guys throwing a tantrum when they don't get laid. A woman doesn't want to sleep with them and says, oh, you know, maybe not tonight. Can we sleep together next time? And he'll throw a fucking tantrum and go like, oh my God, I'm never going to get laid. Like, you know, fuck, this bitch is like in my way. It's like, why do you need her to sleep with you? I understand wanting her to sleep with you. I understand being excited by that. I understand thinking that's something that would be really amazing in your life. And yeah, it probably would be. But why do you need that? So I'll leave, again, links to these three books. I really, really, really recommend them. They're absolutely amazing books on improving your stoicism. Other things you can read are Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. That's great for stoicism and mental health. That's a free book. You can just look at that on YouTube. There's an audiobook for free. It's in the public domain. So it's like an old, you know, book that's free. You know, you don't have to pay for it. You can buy copies of it on, if you want a physical copy, you can buy it on, I think even on Kindle, it's free. So if you go on Amazon Kindle, I'm pretty sure it's free, but that's a great book. But yeah, looking at stoicism and inner peace and happiness as skills that you can improve, especially when it comes to something like optimism. I've been told by, you know, quite a few people that I'm ridiculously positive, that I'm always positive. And if you listen to all of my content, yeah, I am. Please find me a content where I'm negative. Now, there are times where I might go on a rant to make a point to try and be positive. There are times where I might bring up something that's made me unhappy. If you go back and listen to the podcast in 2020 and 2021 with all the lockdowns and the forced vaccines and the mandates and, you know, vaccine passports and all of the insane stuff that governments were, you know, getting themselves caught up in, I would talk about that stuff. But what did I do in every podcast? Even when I was very unhappy about that stuff, and that stuff didn't make, you know, I wasn't particularly happy at the time. What did I do in each podcast? I came out with a takeaway point. I came out with some actionable step that you can take if you're feeling the same way. Or I came up with what Emmy and I were going to do to make it through that. Every single podcast I've ever done and every video I've ever done and every article I've ever done has a positive point in it or an actionable step. I don't speak negatively. I never, ever will, because I did that for such a long period in my life when I was so depressed and suicidal for, you know, the 8 or 9 years. I was such a miserable, negative, pessimistic, black-pilled, unhappy, you know, little man. I did that for such a long time that I came to a point where I was like, I just want to try being positive. I want to try being optimistic. And at first it was difficult. I didn't know how to fucking do it. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to, okay, maybe not the hardest, but it was difficult. It was confusing. I didn't know how to be positive. The three books that I've given you there, I guess the four books, if you include Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, like those books are absolutely how you can improve your optimism and become a more positive person and a less negative person. Another thing you can do is, you know, listen to some of my philosophies, right? Every problem has a solution. That's optimism right there. And so go hunting for solutions. Whenever you have a problem, whenever you hear yourself saying a problem or complaining or being unhappy about something or wishing something was different, immediately go, okay, what's a solution? And if I can't think of any solutions, I'm going to go and ask my friends, or I'm going to post on Andy's forums, or I'm going to hit Andy up for one of his, you know, $150, 30-minute, you know, coaching call things. I'm going to find some solution to this problem. I'm going to ask someone else for a solution. I will find that there has to be a solution. I'm going to figure out what it is. If you can just get yourself in that headspace of looking for solutions, then it doesn't even matter if you're that negative, because you'll come up with a fucking solution and you'll train yourself to be optimistic. I would still obviously work on your optimism. If you can get to a point where you just are never negative, like I'm at that point. I've been at that point for a couple of years. And anytime I feel myself being negative or I hear myself complaining, I will pause after like 30 seconds of complaining and be like, hey, whoa, why am I complaining? That doesn't solve it. What's a solution? Man, I'm being negative. Like, you get really good. It's very easy to get very good. It just takes practice and consistency. You have to do it thousands of times. You will completely suck at it at the start. You really will. That's why all these books really help. There are so many books like this that really, really, really help. There's literally thousands of books that help you with negative thoughts and being more optimistic and being more stoic. And stoicism is just being optimistic, basically, or at least being like realistic and being not being emotional and unhappy and negative. And you're working on that emotional calmness, because the more you build that skill up, and it is a skill, and patience is another skill. Patience is just, you know, stoicism. Learning stoicism or reading these books by Byron Katie or reading the book You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, these all just build your patience up and your calmness, like absolutely. Those things make you infinitely more productive, like a million times more productive. And so we've sort of come full circle here. The reason that I coach most people, or the thing that I coach most people on, is stoicism and mental health. The reason that's the case is because when they make improvements in their mental health or their view of the world or their stoicism or their happiness or their patience or their self-love or their kindness to themselves, when I can get them to improve those things, which is very easy to improve those things, it just takes focus. You just have to focus on it and actually try. When they improve those things, they get like a million times more done. I'm not even exaggerating. Okay, I'm slightly exaggerating. They get like 100 times more done because they're not caught up in negative emotions. They're not bogged down by sadness. They're not telling themselves stories of like, God damn it, why can't I have what I want? Why do people always reject me? How come women never love me? How come I can't make money? How come I'm getting setback after setback? They don't speak like that anymore. They hit a hurdle or they hit a wall or something and they go, fuck, okay, how do I solve this problem? What's the next step? And then they will solve it and they move on. Meanwhile, their old self or someone who's complaining a lot or someone who's negative or who hasn't focused on happiness and gratitude and all of that, that person will hit that wall and then spend the next fucking week complaining about it. Meanwhile, my client who I've taught stoicism and happiness and all of that or helped practice it, my client hits that wall. Half an hour later, they've come up with a solution. Maybe a day later, you know, if it's a big hurdle or a big wall, but like they literally solve like 100 times more problems because they're not being negative. And so many of you or so many of us neglect mental health and happiness and gratitude because we think, oh, you know, that's like something that I'll work on after I've achieved my goals. You know, how many of you does that resonate with? You go, yeah, Andy, fine, but I just got to get laid first and then I'll do this. Andy, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing this podcast. Yep. I've heard this podcast. I've listened for 21 minutes so far. I understand that you're saying mental health and happiness is super important. Cool, mate. I've made a note to work on that after I achieve my current goals and after I get laid and after I make some money at my business. It's like, no, you've missed the point of the podcast. Work on happiness now. Work on it alongside your goal. It doesn't take a lot of effort. If you want some actionable steps, go read all the books that I just recommended and take your time with them. You don't have to like get them all done in the next 6 months. It's okay if you take a long time. Every night, come up with 10 things that you're grateful for before bed, or you can do it in the morning if you want, or do it on your lunch break. It doesn't matter, but put a reminder in your calendar or an alarm to go off or a little reminder every single day. I will come up with 5 things or 10 things, even five. Five is fantastic. Even the first day, just start with one. One thing that I'm grateful for. You can do other things. Like you can every day text one of your friends or a family or a girl that you're seeing or your boss or anyone that you know and just say one thing that you're grateful to them for and pick a different person every day and just say something you're grateful for. Hey, mom, I'm really grateful that you raised me. Dad, you know, I'm really grateful that you taught me how to shave. Boss, mate, I really appreciate that you want what's best for the company and you're always pushing and, you know, you keep this place running. That's really cool. I appreciate that. I like that. I respect that about you. Come up with something that you're grateful for and text that person. Tell them. If you want to, you don't even have to tell them. The good thing about gratitude is this is about you. This isn't about other people. You're not telling them you're grateful to make them feel good. That's a side effect. You're doing this for you. You're doing this to build your own gratitude. Another exercise you can do every day is looking in the mirror and saying to yourself, I love you, and seeing what comes up. And I've talked about this on YouTube videos and in interviews I've done with clients. I try and get every single one of my clients to do this. And if you struggle with it, that's completely okay. It can be very confronting, but that's the point. When you're looking in front of yourself at the mirror or looking at yourself into your own eyes in the mirror, and you're forced to say, or I tell you to say, I love you to yourself. If you can't do it, that tells you that there's some work to be going on. And a lot of the time stuff will come up, like you'll go, I don't love myself because I haven't done this. And it's worth working through that and going like, well, do I only deserve love when I achieve this goal? Or sometimes you'll go to say, I love you, but there'll be like guilt and shame because there's something you haven't processed or you feel bad about something you did. Or that's amazing. That's useful information we can then work through. This is the essence of stoicism, by the way, working through and processing what's in your brain. So there are so many things you can do to improve that happiness and, you know, being more kind to yourself and kind to others and being, you know, better at all this mental health stuff and this happiness stuff and this positive thinking stuff. You know, there's a million different ways to say it and there's a million different skills you can learn. And so please don't feel like you have to do all of them. Let's make that clear. If you just pick one, like you say, I'm just going to improve my gratitude. Or you know what? I really want to try this stoicism thing. Let me learn that. Or even if you just say, I'm just going to read these books that Andy's given, and I don't even necessarily have a goal in mind other than to read the books and take action on them and do what the authors say. And then I'll just see what happens. And these things will make you a much more productive and certainly a happier and more peaceful person, and they will help you navigate the waters of life. Stoicism is something that, again, it makes you a million times more productive, a million times more peaceful and happy. And isn't that why you're doing this in the first place? Isn't that why you're all working on these goals? To be peaceful and happy. I'll wrap up there. I offer coaching. I have group coaching and one-on-one coaching. If you want some help with this, I will leave a link in the description below to that. I, like I said, have quite a few guys right now that I'm working on stoicism and happiness and all of that. Basically, everyone that I work with, I get them to work on that. I will also leave links to all the books that I just recommended. I really recommend you guys read these books. Start with whichever one sounded the most interesting to you. Or if you don't know which one sounded interesting, just start at the top. Again, I get, 50 cents or something if you buy these books through Amazon. So I really appreciate that. If not, that's all good. But I want you guys to focus on this happiness thing. Yeah, don't neglect it. The entire reason that you're doing all of this is to be happy. And so why don't you do that first instead of waiting for the years that it will take for you to achieve your goals? And I've said this before, even when you do it, if you don't focus on happiness, even when you achieve all your goals, you won't know how to be happy because you haven't practiced it. And so what I see time and time again, and you kind of know in yourself that you will do this, if you neglect your happiness and don't focus on it, you will achieve your goals and then you go, fuck, I don't feel happy. Something's missing. Fuck, maybe I need to achieve this next goal. And that's called moving the goalposts. And then you'll do that again. You'll achieve the next goal and go, fuck, why don't I feel happy though? Like, I feel kind of happy, but like, fuck, man, now I'm just aware of the other thing that I don't have. Yeah, I made $1 million, but I don't have $3 million. There are people with way more money than me. I'm still a loser compared to them. Fuck. And that's just because you haven't focused on happiness as a skill, something to improve. So go out there today, guys. Focus on that happiness. That was the entire point of your self-improvement or getting laid or making money or making friends or improving your body or losing weight. It was to be happy. Why don't you just skip the middleman and be happy now?